Welcome to enellis.podbean.com. Bonus episode. We're going to talk about comedy. Comedy shop talk. If you don't like shop talk, beat it. Scram, stupid. Now, I love talking about comedy, but I hate the way most people do it. Because it just always feels like a circle jerk. And a lot of these guys say shit, and I don't think they mean what they say. They talk about how they didn't start getting it right till they stopped giving a fuck what anybody thinks. I don't see too many people not giving no fucks. Kurt Metzger's doing good. I don't know if you guys have seen it. He has a new show on Gas Digital called Can't Get Right. You just can't get right. Where every episode comes with apologies. I wonder where I've heard that before. With apologies. On the Ross Dog Network every Sunday from 7 to 10 p.m. Sunday today. We're recording one tonight. Talked to the CEO about being a diva. He turned into Kyle. So Kurt Metzger, he had a rough year where, like, he got attacked off of social media, kicked off of Twitter and Facebook, and then Amy Schumer threw him under the bus, and then fucking, there was a comic that was taking care of him. I can never remember this dude's name. Old Boston comic. There's a documentary about him by Bobcat Goldthwait. Jerry Seinfeld's nemesis. I can't think of his name. Anyway, he like took Kurt under his wing and helped him deal with the stress of the world turning against him. And then he died. And then Kurt went into rehab. And he went to L.A. He was working on a show for Adult Swim. Is it coming out? There was a cartoon. Dante Nero was supposed to be a voice in it. And all the Race Wars fans, we thought like Kurt would be gone for a couple months or whatever, and it's been years. And then he did set up where it was going to be like Sherrod was going to be East Coast Race Wars and Kurt was going to be West Coast Race Wars. That was a dope enough idea. Sorry, I'm looking over my shoulder. Is my wife home? Don't want her to catch me podcasting. So they were going to do East Coast West Coast Race Wars. That was going to be dope. Kurt did like two episodes and then just never did it again. I got in a fight with Lewis, appeared on Joe Rogan, and then disappeared. And he's been radio silent for years. At least it feels like years. Well, he's back. He's interesting, and I love Kurt because he has a way of putting things where I'm like, God damn it, I wish I had thought of that. Like, there's this new transgender thing where, like, the transgenders, the men that become women, want straight men to treat them like women. Like, pick me up at a bar just like you would any other woman, even if you're straight, because I am a woman. I'm a real woman. And straight dudes are like, ew, no, ick, get the fuck out of here. That's gay shit. You want to do gay shit, that's fine, we support that, but don't force me to do it. And Kurt was like, I love it because these transgenders, they get to know what it's like to be an ugly woman. Like, they thought they could, they don't want to be women, they want to be beautiful women. And there's a lot of women that wish they could be beautiful women that are real biological women, and just life just isn't fair. You just can't all get treated. Not everybody can be the princess at the party. Some of us are ugly. And he points out that maybe the transgenders, maybe they need to take stock of how they're treating people. How maybe they treated ugly women back when they were dudes, or how they're treating the dudes that they're demanding be made available as sexual partners, which is what it is. Which is like, it's so gross. Nobody else is allowed to do that. I'm sure somebody. Hello, my wife. Yeah, Matt. We're back. And audio quality should be better now because I'm inside a nice quiet house. I've had all the cigarettes I can have. I gotta chill out. Today's podcast is brought to you in part by my in-laws have my kid for the afternoon. So I had nothing to do. When you have a toddler, it's impossible to get like anything done. Because anything I'm doing, he wants to be doing. So if I'm typing away at the computer, he's crawling in my lap and he's trying to slap on the keys. I had to hide the keys to my keyboard. He's doing what I used to do to my dad, where, like, I don't know how, but I would break the computer all the time.
And my kid will do that. He'll walk up and slap the keys, and somehow, like, I'll come back and a whole bunch of shit will be deleted, and screens I've never seen before will be pulled up. I'm like, the fuck? Looks like my computer's having a stroke. And drawing, forget about it, because I pull out my iPad. I like a little comic book I was working on. I wanted to, like, do another issue this year. And even just cartoons and stuff for the With Apologies universe. I always want to do more shit. But, like, if I pull that out, on a good day, he'll climb in between my arms, and then he'll start trying to draw on the screen with his finger, like, every 20 seconds. So there's no getting anything done. On a bad day, when he doesn't feel like sharing, he'll come up and just try to rip that bitch out of my hands. He'll be like, man, no, man, this is not a toy. Set it down. So anyway, I have the afternoon free today, and I just did this frog joke, and I learned something from doing it. And so we'll talk about what I learned. This will be a little bit of process. Kurt had said that specifics are always funnier. It's like a free one he threw out there. And I hate specifics because I feel like it's a cheap trick. Specifics is like, you know, you have a setup and a punchline, right? I try to make both funny. And then I'm done. I walk away. I ain't trying to spend all day tagging some shit out with a bunch of extra. Who gives a fuck? I want to get to more like the meat and potatoes and the next thing I want to talk about. But that foreplay of stretching some shit out, some people love that. And God bless you. Maybe if I had more stage time, I'd do more of that shit. But it's like, I got 5 minutes. If I keep it short, that's 3 jokes. So I don't want to, like, miss the chance to say one of my jokes because I was fucking around tagging some shit out. But specifics would be, like, instead of you know, just whatever your punchline is, you go into a bunch of absurd specifics. So it'd be like a midget in Portland giving hand jobs to a leprechaun under a bridge on St. Patrick's Day. And that wasn't the first time he questioned his sexuality. Blah, blah, blah. You just keep going with stupid shit and it becomes its own joke or whatever. That's freebie. Go throw that out there. What I learned from this was, if you ever look at videos or read books or articles about, like, how to write, or how to be a better writer, all of them will say, like, show, don't tell. meaning, like, you don't want to be all heavy on, monologue. People are walking in and you're the scientist, who's in charge of other scientists and blah, blah, blah. And you're like, yeah, that person would know all of that. So it takes you out of the scene if you have too much exposition. So it's better if you can find some way to metaphorically say that with the scene or the tone or whatever. So in comedy, it's like, how the fuck do you do that? Because the job is just tell, right? And one thing that has been bugging me that, like, I want to talk about it on stage, but I don't want to talk about it because everybody's talking about it. And it's the way they shoehorn in social messages into, like, movies and TV shows and comic books. And the way they're doing it is very sloppy and poorly done. So you take something old and you reboot it, and, you know, now it's a black lesbian. Or now it's a transgender Indian kid. Which is fine. It's like, I'm all for, you know, those different lifestyles having characters and shit, but have it be authentic to, like, what they are, who they are. Don't just have a checklist and you take a character and you're like, now you're this box off the checklist. And that checklist, it seems like a lot of times, is more important than, like, story structure or character development or having something to say. Everything feels very fluffy and doesn't have a fucking point to it anymore. So the complaint is the representation isn't good representation, and you're fucking up shit that people used to love, And then they get mad when you don't like it. And they're like, oh, patriarchy and this, that, and the other. It's like what Kurt was saying about transgenders. It's like you get to see what it's like to react to an ugly movie. Like the fucking Ghostbusters, it wouldn't have been my first choice to make them all female. But if you did it well, I wouldn't give a fuck. You know, that's a suspension of disbelief. I would have let go of my beliefs and got lost in the story if the story was dope. But it was just like four of the most annoying women ever with a story that like sped up and slowed down and did backflips. And it's like, I'm not gonna say it was hard to put together, but it was like nothing followed through or connected for me. It seemed disjointed and not good, not pleasant or enjoyable to watch. Mostly because those women are so goddamn annoying. Find better women. That's my advice. All four women. Get the good ones. You guys got some stars on your team, right? Like, I know not everybody can be Kobe, but go find the Kobes. They out there. You know, this lifestyle is on and popping, right? Where's your Tupac? Give me the best of whoever you got. And then let me get into it organically. So I want to talk about that. But there's like 8 million YouTubers and they go through every movie trailer, every movie and tweet and press release. And they break it all down. And, oh, the crimes and the woes and how they're tarnishing our comic books and cartoons and all this shit that they're rebooting because they have no original ideas anymore. What the fuck? We got all these original kinds of personalities. Let's tell one of their stories. Let's give it to me. Thought you had something to say. Say it. So it bugs me, and I see it. I see what these people are saying, and so I want to talk about it. But it's like if you talk about like a movie, like if I went Miss Marvel, blah, blah, who gives a fuck? You might care about that first week, maybe 24 hours. 2 weeks from there, like, if you come late to the podcast, if you're listening to an old episode or whatever, you don't give a fuck about that hot take, because it's old news. Ms. Marvel's out on Blu-ray. Marvel's released 16 movies since that joint came out. Nobody gave a fuck. And sure, it's indicative of the blah, 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 and yes, that's what's coming in Phase 4. Brace yourself. It's okay to grow out of some shit. You're not supposed to love everything forever. Your cartoons aren't supposed to grow up with you. You gotta grow up too. So anyway, with all things, I try to look for broader points to talk about it so that, my shit is like evergreen. Like you pick up any old episode and it doesn't feel tied to an event or tied to a movie. It's all vague enough that, it sounds fresh wherever you're hearing it. So what I learned in terms of show not tell, sorry, I'm smoking a vape pen, is that I came up with this premise of take an old joke and reboot it. Now, I didn't have that intention. You know, comics will say all kinds of lofty shit about their intentions and the metaphors and their their Shakespeare and shit. I do shit pretty spontaneously because it's funny to me. And sometimes I go up there and I can't remember why it was funny and it stops being funny and that sucks. That's the problem with writing high half the time or writing sober and performing high. You're like, what the fuck was this? What was funny about this? But that's why I did it. And then I'm learning these things that I could apply to it in the future. Which like, a word of advice to open micers, like, or anybody in any craft. Like, when you're going on stage, you're not presenting, this is it. This is my material. Certainly not at the level of a fucking bring a show at a bar. That's not your HBO special. So, you shouldn't be going up there with the mindset of, like, this has to work. You're not perfecting the joke. You're learning the skills. So that when the right joke comes along, you have that skill set. And the jokes you're using right now, you should be throwing that shit away. You should be learning from it and then throwing it away. Because there's a whole lot of shit to learn. It's not about just like stacking up everything that works. Not everything that works needs to be said. Not everything that's funny is precious. A lot of it's disposable. A lot of it is, I would call it foreplay. You can have more meat and potatoes. This made me think Gerard Carmichael. Drew Michael had an Instagram post today of press releases related to his HBO special. I don't know what it's called, but I think it's called Creep. I'm going to call it Creep. Which Creep on Netflix was cool. Go check that out if you haven't seen it. And Creep 2. But Drew, so I tried watching it. I couldn't make it past 10 minutes. I'm sorry. I like Drew. He's a funny dude. He got some dark-ass fucking jokes and humor and some great shit where I'm like, God, I wish I thought of that. This was not it. Not for me, not in my personal taste. And there's a picture of him where it's him, Donald Trump, and Hannah Gadsby. And it says, comedy comes in threes. And I was like, oh, Drew, you don't want to be the Hannah Gadsby of HBO. You don't want to be there in the net. I get it. I get what you're doing. It's experimental. It's cool. It's, something different. But that was your HBO, man. That shit gonna be out there. And, alright, yeah, if you can live with it, if you happy with it, that's cool, you know. I wouldn't do that shit. What's his name? Fucking Gerard Carmichael, I think, is the one that produced that for Drew. He paid for it. It was his vision to, like, shoot it that way. And Drew was just like, as far as I could tell, you know, went with the opportunity. And then the two of them went on Rogan. And Rogan would not let them talk at all. Gerard's a guy that wants to talk about his vision. Rogan didn't want to hear it. He wanted to talk about the moon that day. Let me tell you about the moon. Shut the fuck up, Joe. I'm a new starving comedian, and I'm dying to get these ideas out here. Please let me introduce myself to the people. But the moon! It's like, dude. That's when you wish that the comedians had been spicy enough to have the kahunas to be like, Joe, would you shut the fuck up and let me say this, that, or the other? But no, they were very respectful. You didn't even know Drew was there if you listened to the audio episode. But he was there. I can't get too mad at Drew. He's got some weird hearing problems, so I'm sure it's weird for him to jump into group conversations, if that's still a thing. Maybe he's all fixed up. Good for you, Drew. But Gerard, he dropped two specials. The second one, the first one was big news. The second one was called 8, or maybe it was called Infinite. I don't know if it was an 8 sign or an infinity sign, but I swear it's probably called 8, because he only told 8 jokes in that entire special. You need more meat and potatoes, bro. Can't just be out there giving people morsels. Are you here to do this? Are you doing it? Are you Chappelle or are you Ricky Gervais? I know I'm off on a huge tangent here. CEO was on the Sam Hill episode, and there's some audio I chopped up. I'm going to put this in here. I'm going to start trying to clip CEO talking about comedy and bundle them all together because I think it's great. He was talking about Ricky Gervais and somebody's impression of him. Who the fuck was it? It's the guy that's like, frankly, my dear, I don't give a care. He was a SNL jerk off, and then he was part of the ONA universe loosely, got addicted to NyQuil, jumped all over TV, stole jokes. Yeah, you know, if you're a comedy person, you know who I'm talking about. So CEO was talking about his impression of Ricky Gervais. And he was like, oh, ho, 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 oh, I'm an atheist, isn't that edgy? Oh, ho, 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 I'm an atheist when it's almost illegal to be anything else, isn't that edgy? Oh, ho, oh, I like animals more than people, isn't that cheeky? Oh, ho, ho.
I can't do it justice, but that made me laugh. Made me laugh my ass off. And
Fucking Patrice used to say about European comics that they're like 10 years off. And I don't hate Ricky. He's got a huge body of fucking work. Back in the day, Chris Hardwick and Aisha Tyler were calling him a baby comic. And I was like, he's way better than you shitheads. Y'all motherfuckers are garbage. Hollywood. I hate Chris Hardwick. I was trying to think of a word the other day. I said it starts with a V. It doesn't. It's snark. I hate snark. I think it's the lowest form of comedy. And Chris Hardwick is a snarky guy. And I'm like, kill yourself. He's big into specifics, Kurt's thing. But his specifics will be like, X-Men 389, the cover, right? And it's like, dude, nobody knows what the fuck you're talking about or cares. Wrong kind of specifics. At least be absurd, man. You can't just... You gotta have a point of view, not a point of reference. This made me think of another aside. We're doing asides within asides. I used to be on a show called The Eskimo Bros. And one of my homies on there was named Toys. Toys is super funny. Way funnier than me. He's one of those, like, handful of people I know where I'm like, God damn it. Everything you say. Why is all of it funny? I try so hard, and I'm like, I never would have got there. Never would have thought of it. Motherfucker. So Toys and I were sitting down one day, and he was like, Ian, who is your demographic? And I was like, comics, comedy nerds. Which in my head, I thought was like a livable audience, a decent audience. I thought they were real. I don't actually think that exists anymore. I don't think it's what I think it is. I think it's something else. It's like... fucking nerdy girls. It's like getting your style from Hot Topic level into something. They're not in it. They're surface level into it. I don't think there's real comedy nerds. So Toys was like, Ian, if that's your demographic, you might as well quit right now. Because this is too small. It's not going to be enough to sustain you, man. And I was thinking about that. In tangent with all these movies shoehorning shit in where it's like, who are you writing it for? Because if it's just like the top, the top brass of the feminist agenda, if it's just people that hate the patriarchy and that know all the vocab, that audience isn't going to be enough to sustain you. That's why they say you go woke, you go broke. welcome to being an ugly girl. You're not going to like it. Back to CEO and Ricky Gervais. I like Ricky. He writes to make you cry, which I do like. I thought Derek was great. He had a recent one about death where, like, it's not for everyone, but someone like Unbleached, he needs to see that shit because it would help him articulate a whole lot of feelings he's got floating around. It might help him process reality. It's something I was trying to get at. I was talking to Vlad last week about, like, sin and, like, ideas that have poisoned us. Because it doesn't just affect the way you see the world. It affects the way you see yourself. And then you either branch off in a bunch of negative, destructive behavior, or you branch off into, you know, growth and flourishing. And most of it seems negative. All right. At this point, I'm just going to take a break and come back.
I don't like Italians that think the mafia is a thing that we all care about. We should all be intimidated by, hey, Gabon. No, I don't like that.
So he came off to you like a Nick DiPaolo type?
I hate Nick DiPaolo. I never have found him funny.
Kind of like him.
Fucking, well, that's not surprising. People would think his retarded behavior. But
it's not retarded. It's called thinking for oneself.
Oneself and liking Nick DiPaolo.
A lot of people like Nick DiPaolo. He's not as
good. Yeah, a lot of people.
I kind of think some of his stuff is funny, especially the conservative. Stupid. He tends to be right. You know, he's better than liberal comics.
You know what? It's not, though. It's not. That's the thing I don't like. Because what you're doing right there is you're giving – what you just said gives guys like the revenge. Oh, no. Liberal stuff is fucking gay, but the answer is not to be as fucking gay as they are.
I agree. I agree.
So, no, I don't give Nick DiPaolo an out. I don't give Kumia an out. I don't give Kumia's any big. Because I hate
Kumia revenge. Old news. Kumia was Opie and Anthony. That's old news. I don't care about old radio.
No, I'm just get so is Nick DiPaolo. Nick DiPaolo is a fucking angry old man. That's what he is. George Carlin's like last comedy special where he just wasn't even doing jokes anymore.
I'm gonna have to agree. He was one of my favorite.
We all made fun of him. We all were like, "Wow, look at George Carlin. He's a fucking fool now. He's an idiot.
Mm-hmm.
He's a fucking pissed off old man. Oh, this is funny. Look at him." And then now people, you know, we all forget that like Louis C.K. wanted to be George Carlin so. I always thought Louis was okay. Oh my God! Here's a white guy saying "nigger." Whoa!
Even Robin Williams started to do that too, and it's like that's exactly what Joe Rogan is today.
I don't think Robin Williams was funny. I'm sorry, he didn't never made me laugh.
I've talked to Bellin about this.
That's what I'm saying.
I wanted to like him. I wanted to like Robin Williams, but I never found myself laughing. So, like the Reputation, he's brilliant. But if you don't laugh, I agree with.
It's like when you go to the Wizard of Oz. Those are how you get it, bro. You like you've seen the fucking Wizard of Oz.
Yeah, it's. I know these people.
Program isn't that good. I like it.
Really? This is the guy. There's been. Let me tell you something. I think this is it. The worst black comedians are not as bad as the worst white comedians. It's true.
True, because the worst black comedians are real. Some guys experience, but the black experience.
No, that's not what I mean. I'm talking about the worst white comedians get fucking like. How many Kevin Harts actually exist where they're not good and they get unbelievable play? It doesn't really happen. There's like one guy, but the worst
like the white
comedians become cultural icons. Dane Cook, George Carlin, fucking Robin Williams. They all become icons for whatever fucking reason. Have you ever heard Jay Mohr's impression of Louis C.K.?
He's not that funny.
No.
Listen to his impression of Louis C.K. and then tell me that's not him.
I'll try to find
That's Louis C.K. and Ricky Gervais. I don't get white people love Ricky Gervais. I don't get it.
He's a good actor sometimes, but I don't think he's
not a good actor. He's an atheist at a time where it's pretty much illegal to not be an atheist.
In Canada.
Whoa, in Canada. Isn't that edgy? Isn't that so fucking edgy? He's an atheist. Whoa.
Fuck.
Wow. Oh,
man, I love you like when you do this, man.
Holy shit. No, but do you get it?
Yes.
There's no such thing as God. Oh.
That's good.
It'd be great if God was a flying spaghetti monster. Richard Dawkins. Holy fuck. I hate that motherfucker too. I would be okay if we went around and we just killed all the atheists because they annoy me to no end.
All right, Ricky Gervais and the goddamn frog joke. We gotta wrap this shit up. This is not supposed to be an hour long. Ricky Gervais is behind the times, and he's trying to be edgy, which maybe this is what they call a try hard. But it's like 10 years behind edgy. So it'll be like, aren't I such an atheist? Oh, ho, ho. You know, blah, 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 whatever his jokes are. Which would be fine. Like, things have gotten so constrictive that even that could be, you know, a lit, relevant way to do comedy. But he's, like, smug about it and not at all self-aware of the fact that he's behind the times. at least that's my read on him. But I do like him. I like him in interviews. He's got a great line where they're like, is there anything that comedians can't joke about? And he's always like, oh, is there anything writers can't write about? Oh, ho, ho. I wish I could do that as stand-up, as just trash other comedians. to inside baseball. Oh, ho, ho.
the frog joke. I realized, like, shortly before I went up on stage that I could start it by saying I'm rebooting a joke. And that would be a way of showing you what I hate about these movies, but creating my own thing. And so I did a little bit by saying, like, there's a little boy, he's a mulatto, which I thought that was funny, because nobody uses that word. Like the Cheerios commercial, which I guess that can kind of date it, but I think for most people, if you're thinking of a, I don't want to call him a colored boy, if you're thinking of a mixed race child, you're probably thinking of the Cheerios boy, because that was the most dominant representation. It was the most controversial. He had the most hits, man. He got platinum plaque. Fuck rap, you could have it back. bless that boy's child. I want a follow up. I want a VHS. Where are they now? VH1, VHS. Sorry, guys, I'm goofy. The little boy from Cheerios. It's now 25 years later. You can tag that out. See, I'm not gonna, but that's one of those places where you could do that shit. Did I mention that specifics thing? That's something that fucking Revenge of the Sith does all the time. And by Revenge of the Sith, I mean just Mersh. Like, Royce will get a joke off, and then Mersh's thing will just be, like, to just tag it endlessly, which is a thing he got from Norton. And it's hacky. But it fills time. It fills the air. You know, the normies don't know any better. So, but that's it. It's like, this is me, like, revealing, like, this, the fucking South Park revealing Family Guy. It's just walruses and a ball. It's just, he's just keeping the ball in the air, guys. It's not, it's nothing insightful there. It's nothing too great. It's a tricky learn. So the frog joke. call him a mulatto boy. And I point out he's transgender. And part of the point of doing this joke for me was just to see if I could stretch out one joke for the entire, like, 5 minutes. And this was a street joke that somebody told me, like, 15 years ago. So this is pre-comedy. And back then, back before iPhones, before pickup artists, but almost in a pickup artist-y way, I knew a dude that would do party jokes, I guess is the best thing to call it, where it's like he had rehearsed bits that at a party he would do. And it wasn't just him. I knew a bunch of dudes that did this. And the point would be to, you know, get everybody's attention and tell this story. My buddy Burke had a style of doing it where he would take a bad joke, like a wah-wah, terrible punchline, but he would stretch it out as long as humanly possible. We, in college, did an archaeology dig on Grand Island. And this island had no cable, no internet, just power. And we would wake up like an hour before sunrise, and then we would go to the dig site, and we would work there until dusk, and then we had the rest of the afternoon free. But there really wasn't shit to do, so we would mostly just sit around a campfire and get blind drunk and try to entertain each other. It's a lot of singing and stories and fucking children's games. Shit that you have to do to entertain yourself when there's nothing to entertain you. And Burke had a thing where he would take a joke and just extend it as long as humanly possible until we all wanted to kill him, until nobody wanted to hear the joke anymore. We didn't care what the punchline was. We gave up. We walked away. And then just then he would give you the punchline. An example, he had one about like Mario and Luigi from Mario Brothers, where they're living in an apartment and something happens. Somebody's murdered, a crime is committed, something happens. And characters keep coming into the situation, kind of like Kramer and Seinfeld. Like the door just keeps flying open. And each time a new character comes in, he would restart the entire scenario, filling that character in on what had happened. And then they would move forward and another character and... On and on, he had every Mario character to choose from to extend the story. God help you if he made it out of the building. time starts passing, and then you're getting filled in on what characters are doing while your main characters are on their fucking Lord of the Rings quest to get to the fucking punchline. And this shit would just go on and on forever. So I kind of wanted to do that with the frog joke, but I only had 5 minutes. And I stretched out the whole 5 minutes. I did what I wanted to do. I learned kind of how to show, not tell. In the future, given a longer set, if I really wanted to hammer home the point, I would come up with all the different archetypes of shit that they're forcing into movies and comics, and then you would run into, you know, the lesbian mother and the the empowered female with a wimpy boyfriend and on and on. I'd have to do some research to figure out what are all the archetypes. But the point is, that's a new trick. Not to specifically ever do that joke again. But now I have that little skill in my satchel, and when the right thing comes along, I'll break that out, and we'll rock it out. Chappelle's new special drops tomorrow. With Apologies comes out tonight. I'm going to throw on here a clip from Ram Dass podcast. Just like a little minute to 2 minute long clip of a short story that I liked. Yeah, and I'll get the CEO talking about comedy and throw some music in there. All right, y'all. My name's Ian Ellis. Please tell people about the podcast. Spread the word. Give them some context. We've been working hard. Subscribe to the Ross Dog. All kinds of fun stuff coming. Philip Wave is probably going to come out on Tuesdays and Thursdays from now on, because that seems to fit best into my schedule. Lane is recutting the Dante doc to go on The Cult of Black Philip. We just dropped BAM 2, The Road to Dr. Phil. I wasn't even expecting this. I thought this was going to be a couple months before this came out. But Lane just dropped that. It's like a 40-minute documentary. And Mersh 2, he says, what does DJ Khaled said? Album's done! That's Nas. Album's done! Fucking, that shit might come out on Friday. So get excited. We've been dropping shit all week long. Just hits after hits. Don A dropped a video today. That shit is fucking hilarious. If you have any idea who Kyle Super Saiyans is, go to the Don A Late Night Live channel and watch, what is it called? The L, so it's Late Night Live, LNLS Studios, LNL Studios staff meeting, shocking staff meeting. Don A really knocked it out of the park. He did some creative, fun stuff in this. I'm liking that people are just making new weird shit. I was starting to watch a documentary about the guy that made Fritz the Cat. It was a dirty cartoon that came out in the 80s. And he was talking about, like, everybody was following the rules that were set down by Disney. And he's like, so I just did the opposite of that. I just intentionally broke all of the rules. And by doing that, he pioneered and created all kinds of new shit that's amazing. And he's responsible for, like, a shitload of things that you probably enjoy. All kinds of stuff in Pixar and comics and art and movies and everything. He influenced everybody by breaking all the rules. And I hope you guys are some rule breakers. Let's break some rules. Let's do something different. Let's do something new. Fuck it. Let's just do it. Just do it. All right, y'all. Yeah, man. One more thing I wanted to throw out there real quick. This is something I wish comedy reporters or gossip artists would fucking talk about. Is when big-time hosts have someone on and it's very clear they do not give a fuck about the person they're talking to. I was talking about Joe Rogan doing that to Gerard and Drew Michael. He's not the only one. Did it to Brian Moses. When I was out in L.A., Brian was one of the real ones. Like, he kept 100 all the time. Wasn't an asshole, but he put comedy first. I appreciate that shit. And Red Bar criticized him that he doesn't have a personality. And you're not wrong. Brian, you do need to step that shit up. Have a Red Bull, a latte. You're introducing yourself to the world. This is the beginning of a relationship. You don't want to be a slow burn when you're at the speed dating table. You will get passed up. For more dynamic people, let your freak flag fly, man. Say some shit. And I believe that Brian will. This recently happened to Brian again. He was on the first episode of Kurt Metzger's new podcast. And there's a part where Brian goes, yeah, my girlfriend cheated on me with my best friend. And then Kurt, like a golden retriever, gets distracted by some asinine shit like parking tickets or coffee or some fucking shit that was happening in the background. Never acknowledges or comes back to what Brian was talking about. Oh, that thing that completely devastated your life? I wasn't even listening. We're just going to keep moving. We're just going to plow right over you. That's bad hosting, guys. It's disrespectful to your guests, and step it up a notch. Quincy Jones, he probably had it the worst. He's another dude I met in LA that opened for Patrice back in the day. He was real cool to me, took care of me and a bunch of other people. Quincy had mesothelioma, cancer that you hear about on TV all the time. And some publicist picked that up, sold it to Ellen. So Quincy Jones goes on Ellen, and they tell Ellen he's dying, and his dream is to have an HBO special. So Ellen pulls some strings and gets Quincy an HBO special. It was like aired one time. Thrown together quickly. I haven't seen it. I apologize, Quincy. I haven't seen it. But he went on to try and promote that. So he went on the Pete Holmes show, and Pete did not give a fuck about Quincy. Quincy's like, yeah, 6 months to live. I'm dying. And Pete's talking about some chai lattes and his diet, and like, he's not locked in at all. That was super disrespectful. Pete is a dude, man, that like, I like what he's talking about, this enlightenment stuff. Like, I feel like he's on the right page, but he really looks down on people. You see that shit all the time. I watched him on Doug Benson, and he kept giving Doug Benson those, can we get rid of this fucking guy look? He's not one of us. He's not one of the comedy elite. Kick him to the curb. Pete Holmes got that in him, man. He got that, he need to be humbled. But I do love him. I do recommend his book. Last special was Too Much Brian Regan. But I recommend the book, Comedy Sex God. old Petey Holmes, disrespectful to Quincy Jones. And then Quincy went on Mark Maron. And he was one of those halfway fake guests, whereas like Mark would have the main guest and then people that would phone in for some shit for like 10 minutes. And they would usually do some pre-rehearsed bit. So Quincy came on for like 10 to 20 minutes, almost like a phoner. I don't even know if he got to do the person-to-person. And again, Mark Maron treated him like, this is a gimmick. I'm just doing this so I don't seem like a shitty guy. Pow! Shit my pants. Mark Maron was very disrespectful. And then Quincy, he got better. And now I'm sure he's haunted by all of this. And anytime he goes anywhere, people are like, aren't you supposed to be dead? But I'm glad he's not. Shout out to Quincy Jones. He's dope. Shout out to Punky Johnson, Brian Moses, Brandon Bricks. Bunch of cats that I miss that were cool when I was out there, man. Yeah.
And the issue comes up of the relation between divine love and worldly love. There is a story called The Heart of a Gopi by a very beautiful Sufi woman who I knew it in Delhi. She has since died. Her name was Rehana. In which this young girl, Sharmila, who is a gopi, goes to the river with the other gopis and they wash their clothes and bathe, and then Krishna starts to play tricks with them all the time, and they all fall madly in love with Krishna. Sharmila has a husband, and the husband's name is Nath. Sharmila says to Nath, now, Nath, mine ears are perpetually haunted by his voice, and all of Vrindavan has become but a mirror of his matchless beauty. Beauty so perfect that it cannot even be dreamed of by mortals. And my heart, ah, there is no longer even a heart in Sharmila's breast. There was a long, long silence. And then Nath said, "And what about me, Sharmila?" Sharmila rejoined instantly and with vigor, "Never, never, no, never have I loved thee as I do now." "What? Ah, Nath, none may understand this save lovers of Krishna alone." "Well, I cannot understand it, it's true. And I'm afraid. Sharmila, I am afraid."
Do you guys like podcasts that are piecemeal together? The other thing I was going to say about that frog joke was the moral of the story was sometimes to get what you want out of life, everybody got to die. That was about comedy is what I want out of life. I'm a little boy. And comedy is the frog. And to get what I want out of comedy, everybody gotta die. Not meaning I'm out to take people out, but meaning can't be loyal to anyone. You gotta be willing to cross every line and break every rule to get what you want out, at least for me, to get what I want out of it. So that was some more shit. If you wanna go back and make a Wikipedia about one fucking joke that I'll never tell again.
I'm a cheapskate. Work a graveyard shift on a weekday. Split my wallet and my heart into three ways. A night robber stop me on the freeway. No cash, baby, I'm a cheapskate. Work a graveyard shift on a weekday. Split my wallet and my heart into three ways. A night robber stop me on the freeway. No cash, baby, I'm a cheapskate. Work a graveyard shift on a weekday. Slip my wallet and my heart into three ways. No sleep, I don't get rest. But I always try my best. And it feels like I'm obsessed. Yeah, somehow you're not impressed. No sleep. Work a graveyard shift on a weekday. Slip my wallet and my heart into three ways. A night robber stop me on the freeway. No cash, baby, I'm a cheapskate. Work a graveyard shift on a weekday. Slip my wallet and my heart into three ways. Got me working to the bonus when I show my truest colors though. Got me working to the bonus when I show my truest colors though. Got me working to the bonus when I show my truest colors though.